It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Andrea Logan Sanders. Andrea is the president and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. Hey there, Andrea. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for having me today.
So maybe we should get started today by having you explain to us what the Boys and Girls Aid is.
Boys and Girls Aid is Oregon's oldest child welfare organization. We were founded in 1885. And we provide a whole variety of services that support youth in finding permanent families and lifelong stability and stable housing.
What is the state of foster care in the state of Oregon right now? What's it like?
It's been challenging, especially since COVID, because we have a real shortage. There are about, on any given night in Oregon, there are about 6,000 youth in foster care in the state of Oregon. And there's a massive shortage of foster homes right now that there just aren't enough foster homes for all the kids to be placed in. We have our own certified foster homes and other agencies also do throughout the state of Oregon, but it isn't nearly enough to meet that need. So it's a real challenge right now.
How come there's more need for foster care? Or
For foster homes. So the number of foster homes has dropped off for across the state, not just for us, but for all the agencies that provide foster homes. And COVID was especially hard on foster homes because, we typically recruit and certify new families throughout the year, every year, and that just kind of stopped during COVID. We did not have new families coming on, for reasons related to COVID. It was just not a time that people wanted to start taking in kids into their homes. And I think since COVID, what we're seeing is just a real fatigue in general in being able to take on more than what people are already taking on. I think COVID brought out a lot of awareness about people's mental health and the need to kind of take care of themselves and their families first and not extend themselves as much to be able to care for, potentially other kids coming in the home. So I think I just have seen a real decline since COVID, and I think that that is part of it. And there's also just the need for kids is always there, and there are always more kids coming into the system much faster than families can get certified and brought online. It might take 9 months to certify a new foster family, and then during that time, we don't have those beds available for kids, but we can lose a foster family in a day if a personal circumstance comes up or something like that, and they're not able to be foster parents any longer. That can happen really quickly. So it's kind of we can't get them in as quickly as we sometimes lose them.
Sounds like it's really kind of hard to keep up.
It's really hard to keep up, and we do an excellent job of foster parent retention. We do a lot of hands-on support and coaching and training and appreciation and just a lot of open communication. And so we retain foster parents quite well and for long periods of time, but still, they might have circumstances come up in their lives that make it so that they have to stop being a foster parent, and we can't control that. So Yeah, it's a real challenge.
We're talking today with Andrea Logan Sanders, president and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. So tell me, what brings you to Boys and Girls Aid? How long have you been there, and what's been your experience so far?
I have been with Boys and Girls Aid for 18 years, and I have been the president and CEO for 2 months.
So, yes. You're new.
I'm new. And I've had various leadership positions at the agency, culminating as the chief operating officer, and then became the president and CEO. I came to the agency because I wanted to join an organization that really made sure that kids who didn't have stable families and stable homes still were safe and cared for and loved, and that they had the same opportunities for success as all of their peers in stable homes and stable housing. So I was brought on with my background in shelter and housing services with families, both in California and in Oregon. And I was recruited because we were opening Washington County's first and only shelter for youth in Hillsboro called Safe Place. So we opened our doors to Safe Place in 2007, and that was when I joined the agency in 2006 to be part of that effort.
Wow. What's been your experience so far? Have you, is it everything you expected it to be and more?
Oh, yeah. I see, you know, when I described why I wanted to work for the organization, I see this happen every single day that I'm there. And I feel so good about working for the agency. I mean, I've been there for 18 years. So, you know, I still learn so much every day from our staff and our youth and our foster parents and the families we work with. And I like it because our programs really change and grow in response to whatever need we see in the community. So if there's a missing link that a group of kids need services, we have a history of trying to create something to respond to that. And that I love. I love being innovative and trying new things, not being kind of stuck in our ways. So what I've seen now is that we do so many things in our organization. Really, what makes us unique is that we're the only agency in the whole state of Oregon that provides the combination of things we provide. So we have adoption and foster care and shelter and housing services and permanency services. And these are like I said, there's no other agency in Oregon that's providing that specific combination of services. And it's really exciting to be a part of that effort.
Yeah. I wanted to ask about the services and because you do offer so much. Tell me more about, more specific about some of the services.
Yeah. So we offer, the services we provide can meet youth at any point in their life from the day they're born until they're 27 years old. And we really, our services are so diverse that we can meet them in any circumstance they're in. So everything from infant adoption, so helping infants who might otherwise go into the state welfare system if their mother decides, if their birth mother decides not to parent, we can support her with an adoption plan. We do open adoptions. So we have, you know, a great history of helping birth parents and adoptive families watch the child grow up together and be involved in each other's lives. And then we also do foster care adoption. So that's for kids who have already been taken into the custody of the Department of Human Services and are in need of a permanent loving home. So we have a pool of adoptive families, and they'll take kids all the way up to age 18. So, and some of these kids have been in the system for a long time waiting for adoption. Some of them are new, you know, and had to leave home for whatever reason and go into state custody. And then we also provide our shelter and housing services. This is a growing part of our agency. I mentioned earlier our Safe Place shelter in Hillsboro. So this is the only shelter for homeless and runaway youth in Washington County. So we offer 24/7 services, and this is for youth who are on the streets or have run away from an unsafe situation at home and need a safe place to be. So we can provide anything from one night of emergency shelter to crisis intervention and all the supports that a youth needs to stabilize. And then we have a long-term housing program where we house youth exiting out of foster care, youth trying to transition out of homelessness, young parenting youth who need that help with housing and other supports to get their feet on the ground. And this is a really exciting part of our services because there's such a great need for it in Washington County, and we've become really good at providing it. And what we also, a newer component to that that we're super excited about, is that we provide homelessness prevention services. So before a youth even leaves home and ends up at the shelter or homeless on the streets, we provide services to help them either stay home with their family or get emergency rental assistance to get their own place. We help stop the movement of kids into the adult homeless system. Because that, if it, children who are homeless when they're under 18 are highly likely to become homeless or stay homeless after they turn 18. And then it becomes a whole different problem. And we also provide education re-engagement under that program. And that's really exciting because it helps homeless kids stay engaged in school so they don't drop out just because of their circumstances. And, you know, homeless kids are highly likely to not be able to stay in school. So we help them stay in school, which is really exciting.
Yeah, the statistics. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The statistics surrounding youth that are in the system, if you will, that is, it's pretty astounding. Can you give us some numbers? Because it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, homeless, and there are about 8,000 youth every night in Oregon who are youth. And when I say youth, I mean anywhere from children up to age 26 who are homeless. So they either are homeless with their family, they've run away from home, or they're homeless as a young adult. And even though we technically call them adults, they're at an age when, you know, the average age of independence in our country is about 28. And so we're asking, you know, 18 and 19 year olds to be able to take care of themselves when they leave home. And that's not, especially if they're leaving foster care, it's just not possible. So there are a lot. And in Washington County specifically, which is where these services are located, it's anywhere from 200 to 400 per night are living in places that aren't, they're either couch surfing or living in places that aren't meant to be lived in. So yeah, it's a growing problem. I just recently learned that Oregon has the highest rate of homelessness among youth and young adults in the whole country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. That,
wow.
And it surprised me because we have a lot of services here, but the youth for some reason aren't accessing the services in the way that they need to in order to be stably housed. So
that's really interesting. It's because we do have a lot of services here in the state of Oregon.
We do.
It's kind of that's a very surprising number.
It's a very surprising number. Our last area of service that I just want to mention is our permanency services. This is also a growing department within our agency. And what it does is helps youth in several ways. First, we help actually find homes for kids. So this is different than our own families adopting them. This is either finding family members or other members in the community who are interested in taking a youth who needs a permanent home. And these are all youth who are in state custody. So it's mostly family members. And so we do family finding. And most importantly, we help prepare youth to make that move. It's that really finding a family is only the first step that a youth has to take to become stable. They have to do a lot of work to process their grief and loss over what, you know, their previous lives. And if they've moved around a lot in foster care, they have they need a lot of support to get ready to form relationships with new families. And so we help them do that work. We help prepare families for that relationship because it's not as easy as just saying, oh, great, we found a home. now this child can be happy. It's only really just the beginning of the journey, you know. So we do this amazing preparation work, and we serve between 200 and 300 kids per year doing that type of work, and it's really an amazing service.
Yeah, I can imagine that it's difficult for both the foster family and the youth coming into the family. That adjustment period has got to be something else.
It is something else, and it shows in behaviors, you know, youth being untrusting, doubtful. I mean, if you imagine being 9 years old and having lived with 5 different families that weren't your own, you're not really going to be very excited to put the effort into building a relationship with yet another family. And, you know, it all makes absolute sense. And this is through no fault of the kid. It's just they need the help to get ready for that. Yeah. You know, it's a big change.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the process of becoming a foster parent or a foster family?
Sure. Yes. So our foster families, you know, they find out about us through a variety of different ways. We do a lot of outreach and tabling at events like Pride. And, you know, we kind of make contact with different communities as much as we can. So once somebody finds out about the option, they would attend one of our information sessions. And these are held monthly or more frequently as necessary if we have a new family that wants to learn, you know, learn about us sooner. And the information session goes over the different options they have for the population of kids they want to work with. So basically the age group. And because we serve everywhere from, you know, age 5 to 18. So they learn about that. They learn about what the responsibility is as a foster parent. Different kids have different levels of supervision that are required. Some require more supervision, some require less. So the potential foster parent is able to learn, you know, will this work for my work schedule? Will it work if I have biological kids in the home too? They get to ask all those questions and get that information. And then from there, if they're interested, they can start the process. They would be assigned one of our outreach and certification specialists. And this person would start the process with them and walk through them with them from beginning to end in terms of doing a home study, which is pretty involved. There are records that a person needs to provide. So medical records, financial records, all these kinds of standard documents that are, you know, that ensure that we're bringing on safe and stable foster parents. And so they go through that process, and then it ends with certification and then placement of a youth. And that might be a short-term kind of what we call a respite placement initially, just for them to kind of get their feet wet and learn what it's like to have a youth in their home. And then they might move into a longer-term placement. And our staff work really closely with them throughout that. And also part of that process is pre-certification training. So as they're going through the certification process, they are also doing a lot of trainings to help onboard them. So they're learning about things like trauma-informed care. So they learn how to, when they see a youth's behavior coming up that really shows what the child is going through, they learn how to work with that. They learn, you know, just kind of how to integrate a child into their home in a way that is safe for the child and is a good fit for them. They learn about cross-cultural foster parenting, so that if they have a placement of a youth who maybe isn't the same race as them or is part of the LGBTQIA community, they learn about how to support that youth. You know, they just do lots of those kinds of trainings, and they can ask all the questions they want and get a lot of personalized support. Yeah.
Even though opening your door is very important, there's a lot more to it than just opening your door, right?
Yes. Opening your door has to be your motivation. Like that's where you have to start. And some people kind of get into the process and might decide it's not for them, and that's completely fine and understandable, you know. But if someone is interested in parenting the child in some way, they're going to make a good foster parent. If that It's the motivation that gets them kind of through the process and helps them learn how to do it.
And they're offered a stipend too. Is that correct?
Foster correct. Parents? Yes. Okay. The foster parents are offered a stipend that covers all the costs of the youth being in their home. And the stipends vary depending on the level of supervision that's required. So, for example, if it's one of our younger kids who requires an adult, that they be with an adult 24 hours a day, that would be a higher level of stipend than one of our teenage clients who has more independence and can come and go to school on their own and doesn't require someone to be home with them during the day.
Okay. We're talking today with Andrea Logan Sanders, president and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. Now, it looks like you guys have some events coming up. Can we talk about those?
Yes. So we have our, Yes, we have our Foster Love Gala coming up on Saturday, May 18th. And this is a fantastic event. Our theme this year is We Are Family. And the month of May is National Foster Parent Month. So it's very fitting that we have this event in May. And it's a fundraising event that'll be held at the historic Sentinel Hotel in downtown Portland. And we are very excited to have a speaker lined up who is a young woman who was adopted through our foster care adoption program several years ago with her two siblings and is now going on stage to share her story. It's going to be a very special evening. And it's fun. There are lots of silent auction items. There's a paddle raise, lots of just, you know, good food and drinks and dancing. And it's a really fun event.
Nice.
I encourage anybody who's looking for a good night out for a good cause to think about going.
Is it kind of a black tie affair?
Yes, it is. Fancy cocktail is very how nice. I think of it.
Yes. What was the date for that again?
It's Saturday, May 18th. Tickets are $150 each or $1,000 for a table of eight. And they can be purchased on our website.
Excellent. Is this one of your biggest events of the year?
It is our biggest event of the year. Yes, we have a lot of months of preparation leading up to it, and a lot of care and detail goes into it. Our board is very supportive of the event. Most of our board members will be there in attendance. And it coincides with what I mentioned. So National Foster Care Month is our other, the whole month is kind of an event for us because we're hoping to raise at least $20,000 in the special appeal for Foster Care Month. This would be maybe for people who don't attend the gala but still want to support our foster care program and our youth in foster care. So we'll be doing a special appeal mailing. We'll be doing some social media posting. We're creating a video called We Are Family, which is going to be really fun. Lots of clips of people defining what family is for them and including, you know, biological, adoptive, all kinds of, you know, different people's different views on families. So just, that whole month for us is celebratory.
Very nice. Besides the gala, where does funding come for Boys and Girls Aid?
Our funding comes from a combination of government contracts at the rate of about 78%. And then the rest comes from foundation funding, donations, events like the gala, fees for our adoption services. Those are the main sources of our funding.
Great. We have about a minute left. Tell us how our listeners can get involved with Boys and Girls Aid.
Well, they can attend the gala. That would be great. They could sign up to be a supportive caregiver. This is a pretty easy job that someone can do to support our foster parents by giving them a few hours off once or twice a month. And basically it's taking care of whatever child is in their home while the foster parent tends to their personal needs. And this is, you know, a great way without becoming a foster parent themselves. It's a great way to support our foster parents. We always welcome in-kind donations, monetary donations. We really like getting gift cards to give to our youth. And so, you know, either during the holidays or for when they're moving into an apartment, anything that can help them purchase the things they need. And then volunteering. We have lots of different volunteer opportunities. We have an ambassador board, which is very exciting for young professionals who are in, who want to network in support of our agency. And that's a pretty great opportunity for people kind of in the professional world.
Yeah. Where's the best place for people to get more information?
Boysandgirlsaid.org.
Excellent. Yep. And there's,
and it's really clear at the top, the drop-down menus, how to get involved. The gala event information is right there. So it's easy to find.
And the cutest kid right on the homepage.
Cutest kid. Yes. I think we definitely have the cutest kid on the homepage.
He's adorable.
He's adorable. He's one of our adopted kids.
Great. Well, Andrea, this has been great. You guys do great work. Keep it up.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Gary. It's been really nice talking about it. Thank you so much.
Excellent. We've been talking today with Andrea Logan Sanders, President and CEO of Boys and Girls Aid. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.